So that's what we want to talk about tonight, is that we would trust in the Lord. Padre Pio said, "Pray, trust, and do not worry." But oh, how we worry! We are anxious about many things. And Francis de Sales says that the greatest danger to the soul, apart from sin itself, is anxiety. And yet we worry about our business, we worry about our children, we worry about our future, what has come to us. We worry about how we're going to pass the next exam. We worry and we worry and we worry. Fear takes hold of the heart, and it has a way of paralyzing the heart, doesn't it? It paralyzes us in an awful way. I had an experience of once about that, and I think I've told you, but I'll tell you again. I was running along the beach when I was much younger with the brothers, and they began to scramble up this cliff face. I thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. And so I went up the cliff face after them. I got sort of halfway up, and they were already up the top. I've got one hand up here, another one down here, and I've got a foot here and a foot there. And I thought, I can't move. I can't go up. I can't go down. I'm stuck. And I looked down at the water coming under the rocks down below, and I thought, time for a perfect act of contrition, because this could be the end. And I'm just paralyzed with fear. Paralyzed. I couldn't move. And the brother said, "Come on, Ken, come on, what's your problem? What's your problem?" And then they realized I had a big problem. And so one of them held onto a tree up the top. They put down a human chain down to reach me. And then the hand of that brother who grabbed my hand and went boom like that. Oh, that was a relief. Brought out of my predicament. And that's like the hand of the Lord. Remember when Peter was sinking under the waves and it was going down because he'd got carried away by fear and paralyzed and he's sinking? The Lord saved me, and the hand of the Lord takes hold of him and lifts him up. Fear does paralyze us, but the word of the Lord speaks to us today that if we find our refuge and our strength in him, and if we place all our trust in him and pour out our hearts to him, he will hold us and sustain us. That's the truth of God, but so often in our predicament, we lose that perspective, do we not? I remember one time Jesus is speaking in the gospel about relying upon the providence of God. One time, in the early days of the missionaries, we were without money to pay the fees for the brothers. And it was embarrassing because they wouldn't get their results. And so I'm on the floor of the chapel crying out to God during the week, "You've got to do something." And I felt that he wasn't going to. And so the fear sets in. And in the middle of that predicament, I heard the Lord speak to me that psalm that says, "Look to him and be radiant. Let your faces not be abashed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and rescued him from all his distress. The angels of the Lord are camped around those who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happier is the one who trusts in him." And that word really struck my heart, that I was to trust him, to taste of the Lord, look towards him and be radiant. Let my faces not be abashed, look towards him. He is the radiant one, and his light upon me will give me what I need in my time of peril, in my time when I feel most distressed and most incapable of doing anything about my predicament. The Lord is trustworthy. At the end of that week, we didn't have the money, and I rang up the guy who was in charge of the fund, and I said, "Look, I'm sorry, I don't know what we're going to do." He said, "It's okay, my father, it's no problem at all." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Look, I don't know where it came from, but $3,000 appeared into the bank account. So we're able to sort of pay it off." The Lord is good. And he is faithful, and he's always with us in our deepest predicaments. He is there. But what happens is that we can become quite discouraged in our hearts. And the enemy likes to play in that area of discouragement. So when Jesus says to us in the gospel, he says, look, set your hearts on his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. We find that hard to believe. He says, don't worry about what you are to eat, what you are to drink, what you are to be clothed with. Don't worry about how much you're amassing in the bank. Like, you will be cared for by your Heavenly Father. And don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus says. Like, today has enough troubles of its own. Fear comes into our hearts and we get a negative pattern of thinking where we think the worst case scenario is definitely going to happen. It will all be ruined, says Hanrahan. We'll all be ruined. Remember that poem? We'll all be ruined, we say, huh? We're going down. The ship's sinking. It's like the apostles, you know, when the boat, they say, it's sinking. We're sinking. The Lord's in the boat, you know. How could they sink? But that's how we tend to think. The negative thinking kicks in, and we have that sort of loss of hope that drags us down. F-E-A-R, fear, right? That's what we struggle with, isn't it? False evidence appearing real. Huh? You like it? You can have it, yeah. It's the false ideas in our head that tear us down. That's why in Scripture it says 366 times we're told, I never did count it, but I did read this once, that do not be afraid. That's 365, one for each day of the year, and just in case there's a leap year, there's an extra one. Don't be afraid. You don't have anything to worry about in the morrow. Put your future in the hands of the Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord, it says in Scripture, and humble yourself before him, and he will in due time raise you up. But you know, that discouragement kicks in, doesn't it? When things are not going right, when the circumstances seem to prevail against us so much that our life becomes precarious and maybe even terribly pear-shaped, we get cast down by the disappointment of it all and dragged into discouragement. And that's a terrible thing when that happens, isn't it? And you can sort of go down into a black hole bordering on despair, as it were, when this sort of circumstance kicks in. And we think that God's abandoned us, and that's why we need a text like that first one from Isaiah 49, where it says, Israel was crying out, the Lord has abandoned us. The Lord has forgotten us. And the prophet says, speaking the word of God, you know, even if a mother should forget the child at her breast, or even if a mother should not cherish a child in her womb, I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you, says the Lord. I'll never abandon you. No matter what the circumstance, no matter how dire it is, no matter how disastrous it is that prevails against us, I'll never forget you. This is the Lord God giving us a promise and an assurance, a truth that we can hold on to no matter what comes against us in our lives. And there are times, aren't there, when you feel like giving up. You ever had those moments? Okay, you don't have to go to confession now. Go later. But I had a moment like that once. You know, trying to build this work, the missionaries of God's love, at a certain point in time, I began to think the big problem was myself. And it probably was. But God couldn't even overcome that. But I began to get these negative thoughts because nothing seemed to be working. It didn't seem to be going right at all. It seemed to be going down the proverbial tube. And so once again, I'm crying out to God and I'm not getting an answer. You know when God is silent? You ever had that experience? Yeah, sometimes he's really silent and you feel in your guts, he's abandoned me. And so I remember walking around the block up there at Red Hill, and I made my mind up, that's it, I'm out of here. Not the priesthood, but just the mission. I'd done my dash. It hasn't worked. We may as well pack it in. And I came back to the house, and you wouldn't believe it, I was in the middle of giving a retreat to the brothers. I decided I wasn't going to give them the next talk. That was it. And so I came to the house, and the brothers were just about to begin a praise time. And so I came into the praise time. Now, when they praised, in those days especially, we'd get complaints a couple of blocks away, you know, about the noise. They were really praising God. And so they let loose in one of these praising times, and I sort of felt caught up in the praise. You see, I got the focus off myself. Look towards him and be radiant. Let your faces not be abashed. And that's what happened. I began to look towards the Lord, be lifted by the praises of the brothers around me, and I began to see again the vision the Lord had. And I began to see the kingdom coming about in and through the work that God was wanting to do. And so now I was sort of praising the Lord. And the heaviness lifted from me. And all of that depressive spirit. And so I was due to give a talk to the brothers. I gave them a gung-ho, ready to fire sort of thing, right? And the funny thing was, it was only just after that, at another gathering, there was a prophecy. And one of the brothers came forward with this prophecy. And he said, look, this might seem strange, but when we were praying, I saw a man whose nose began to grow like Pinocchio's nose because he was looking down at his navel. His nose got bigger and bigger, so it actually got stuck in his belly button. And he said, I said to the Lord, how grotesque is that? And the Lord said, that's how you are when you put the focus on yourself instead of on me. I thought, oh my goodness, that's me. So pray, trust, and do not worry. Turn to the Lord in every circumstance. You're worried about your bank account, your business, give it over to the Lord. You're worried about how you're going to get your kids financed for school next year, give it over to the Lord. You're worried about whether the children are going to sort of get converted or not, give it over to the Lord. Whatever your worry is, turn to the Lord in the midst of that. Yes, and trust him with our lives. Yield to him. Here in this Eucharist, we're going to do just that. As the psalm said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us taste of him tonight and see that the Lord is good. Regain our vision for the Lord's kingdom coming about in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our parish, in our church, in our world. God is at work. Regain the vision. Allow the Lord to move you so that you seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, and everything else will be given to you. Don't be worried about tomorrow. Today's got enough troubles of its own. But remember, the gift of the kingdom is given to you. That's the Father's pleasure, to give you the gift of his kingdom. And he won't leave you without what you need when you place your trust fully in him and yield your life and all of those that you have responsibility for into his hands. And bless his name.